Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
534 in Edmonton. It is 434 in Los Angeles, where these two teams will meet in Game 3 tomorrow night. 830 puck drop will get you set up starting at 430. You got all that? We still got plenty of show left for you. A whole half of a show, in fact. And let's head down to the City of Angels. Not to chat with Bob. We'll do that in about a half hour's time. But instead, I want to connect with our headliner today, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk today. John Rosen runs the Forum Report down in Los Angeles. I know he's a good friend, a longtime friend of our Cam Moon from their days running in the Western Hockey League together. John, I appreciate you taking some time. How's it going today?
Going great. Ken Mooner, my best, and as well as Stoff, always has been one of my favorite analysts in the league. Hockey, a lot more fun whenever I get to listen to Stoff.
Yeah, he's certainly a character, and I know that we're eagerly anticipating his thoughts on Game 2 last night. A very different game than Game 1 was, which Edmonton steered and controlled a lot of. They were playing reactionary last night in terms of chasing the game down, and, you know, I wonder from the Kings' perspective, John, if you can just lay out, you know, what you guys thought, so to say, of the first couple of games and drawing even last night.
Well, the Kings took it personally, what had happened to them in Game 1. You heard the old, that wasn't our style of play, that wasn't us. We've heard things like that before. The question then becomes, are they able to follow up on it and come away with a strong effort? Not just a strong effort, but I mean a tight, checking LA Kings style effort. That was there for the most part, but it also harkened back to, you know, some of the Daryl Sutter days where they wanted it. They took it personally. You saw a team that had a very good compete level. They were winning puck battles to a much better degree than in the first game. Still giving up a few of the odd man rushes that, though, you know, they do play the 1-3-1 style and tend to lock that down. They have been guilty of giving up and getting burned by a couple of odd man rushes in each game. So I was impressed by just their ability to get the emotional component sorted out and lock that in with a much tighter checking effort.
Yeah, it seemed like Edmonton really struggled through the neutral zone for a lot of that game. And then there were certain lines, John, that I thought were able to beat that neutral zone check and get some established ozone time, but there was much more of that in Game 1. So clearly LA's adjustments made a big difference in that second contest. And one of the biggest adjustments I think we all saw was Quentin Byfield elevated in the lineup, as he should be. He's an unbelievable hockey player. Goes +4 and was incredibly impactful up there with Kopitar and Kempe as well.
Yeah, and he had the hit that made a bunch of gifts, the one on McDavid, too. You know, he really came into his own late last year. You know, somebody that when these two teams met 2 years ago had not yet settled into a role as an NHL player. Last year, you really saw him excel in that role alongside Kempe and Kopitar. You know, he, over the second half of last season, had outstanding underlying metrics, was a good job digging pucks loose, did all the things that they had expected from him when they drafted him second overall. Big, long reach, skating ability to get in, down low, create chances off the forecheck, good playmaker. But, you know, he's finally been able to not just be part of a line that creates line offense, he's also been able to do it himself. What he's done this season has also boosted Adrian Kempe's playmaking breaking numbers. Kempe leading the Kings in scoring this past year and posting career highs in assists. So that line, when they are together, has been excellent, you know, in key games late in the season. They were at their very best. And, of course, for the Kings, you know, the old fogies, guys like Kopitar, Doughty, you know, had their best games in a couple weeks as well.
Yeah, and absolutely. You look at the goal coming from Doughty, and that was his first dating back to scoring on Henrik Lundqvist, if that gives you an idea, right? Like, it was a game for some of these guys. Taking it personally is almost the perfect way to describe that. It just seems like a guy like Quentin Byfield takes games against the Oilers personally, and we know Drew Doughty can make anything personal. He's got something to say to anyone within 3 feet of him, and from the Oilers' perspective, that's insane to watch him chatting at Stuart Skinner at the end of a period. But to me, I imagine that's so much of the lifeblood of this. You say there's some hangover or carryover from Daryl Sutter. I imagine that comes right from Doughty and Kopitar as well.
Absolutely. There's so many thoughts here, and you really hit the nail on the head. Something that Daryl used to do with Drew Doughty to get him to play at his emotional best, his driven best, is it was hilarious. He would compare him to other really good NHL defensemen in the media. Daryl would say, oh, Ryan McDonough, he's basically their Doughty. Oh, Marc-Edouard Vlasic. He and Doughty are very similar players. When Drew Doughty, let's face it, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best defensemen, maybe the best defensive defenseman of his entire generation. And when Doughty heard those things from, you know, from Sutter through the media, like, he seethes. That's what drives him. The question of whether or not, you know, he is better than other, again, admittedly fine players like Ryan McDonough. But emotionally, he was at his best. And again, Adrian Kempe. It's such a great story, too. He was a high draft pick. You know, somebody that is the Kings, between Byfield and Kempe, the Kings did not have any impactful first-round draft picks. You can look at Gabe Vilardi. He was one, but he's no longer with the team. But Kempe has not just turned into a dynamite goal scorer and showed the playmaking efforts this year, but he's much more confident and assertive in those, not style points, but demonstrating that emotion on the ice. Adrian Kempe's very first roommate when he came out to North America was Paul Bissonnette, and that's when they played and won the Calder Cup together in 2015, and Bissonnette is somebody that really made him feel comfortable when Kempe was only 18 and scoring a billion goals with the Manchester Monarchs that spring, made him feel comfortable in the room, and now you're kind of seeing those seeds that have been planted really come into sprout because Kempe is somebody that, you know, he's not a Doughty, he's not just a chirper for chirping's sake, but he gets his point across both through his emotion and what he's able to do on the ice. And that goal where he reacted and batted it out of midair last night, that was a beautiful goal scorer's goal where he scored goals in a lot of different ways.
He was, man, I don't want to fawn too much over him because I know it's going to drive the Oilers fans crazy if I do, but he is the exact quintessential player who, when he isn't on your team, you wish that he was, because he's got that element of, I'll stick my own grandmother in the ribs in order to accomplish what I need to accomplish and get past you. And then he's got the hands to do something that soft, right? You mentioned Vilardi, of course, in his place now as we chat with John Rosen from the Forum Report ahead of Game 3 between the Oilers and Kings. Pierre-Luc Dubois is on this roster instead. How is he perceived? Because I get the sense that he's got a really interesting reputation in other markets around the NHL, but he's still a big body, frustrating player to play against. What do you think of this player?
Well, from the outside, he's not perceived well. I mean, the numbers, they speak for himself. The fact that he's making, you know, $8.5 million against the cap through the 2030-2031 season. There were reasons why he's now on his third team at such a young point in his career. And some of the criticisms that have been levied against him, they have been validated from some of the things that I've heard. But that doesn't matter to the guys in the room. They have accepted him as one of their own. it has taken him some time to get acclimated to the way they play. His compete level has not always been there this year. But I was talking with a member of the Kings hockey operations staff when I was in Sweden for World Juniors this year, and they said something. The Kings fans didn't like to hear it. They came out with torches and pitchforks, stuff like that. But the executive said, you know, we didn't get him to put up points. We got him to win. And so you're seeing this very inconsistent Kings team tied 1-1 in the series. They haven't gotten a ton yet from him, may not get anything at all. He did come up with a key late game, drew a penalty last night. But he's somebody that if you're tied 1-1, you haven't gotten a ton from him, haven't gotten production yet from Trevor Moore, who put up 30 goals, or Victor Arvidsson, who was hurt for virtually the entire season. You know, there are still some areas of improvement. You know, I remember watching a lot of Pierre-Luc Dubois. I've been impressed by just the way that he gets in. They need that physicality. The Kings are not a very pounding, determined, heavy team like they used to be. They need that physicality in the lineup. He's intermittently provided that, but you know, when the games get important, I think the expectation, or at least the hope, will be that he can raise his game. And so far, you know, the jury's still out on whether he's provided it or whether the fans and outsiders can see it.
It's a battle of two teams, John, that have replaced head coaches during the season, and goaltending has been a question mark to some extent here in Edmonton, but I wonder in Los Angeles, as we've seen both David Rittich and Cam Talbot go through really good spells this year. I was honestly somewhat surprised to see him get the start in game two, only because of how, I guess, not how the team looked in front of Talbot, but maybe how unsettled he looked in the net, and they turn back to him and get the victory in game two. But talk about the confidence level that is in the LA market in terms of what is backstopping the Kings.
Not great. You know, that's been a shortcoming of the team. I think there is not going to be great goaltending on either side in this series. I think there's one of my bold predictions is that both goaltenders will be pulled in one game in this series. You know, as for Talbot, it's a reflection of the Kings and their salary structure, the way that they have built this team, where they made a concerted effort to align more and did so towards the later end of this Vogue movement, building not east-west, but much more skill into the lineup when the Kings badly needed it in the transition into this new era, you know, after Daryl Sutter and his distinguished tenure as head coach of the Kings, you know, led them to a little bit of a restocking of skill. So with that in mind, and with the amount that the Kings have doled out, and they have, you know, Andre Kopitar with a, you know, $10 million cap hit, Pierre-Luc Dubois, $8.5 million, Kevin Fiala, $7.875. You get to Drew Doughty, $11 million. You know, there's just, they haven't been able to They haven't been able to acquire and still, whether it's developing or installing a number one goaltender that you can confidently put out there for the most important games of the year. There's always, you know, the mental aspect of, you know, what it would mean to a team if you switch goaltenders one game into a series, and then there's maybe a lack of trust in what you're going to do and how that affects the way the team plays as a five-man unit in front of the goaltenders. But, you know, Oilers fans know Cam Talbot. I have a feeling that Oilers fans look back fondly on what he was able to share with the team, the way that he had excellent stamina and got them through some pretty solid seasons, too. But it's not a strong point when you look at the Kings' defense, too. It's, you know, beyond Doughty, you know, Matt Roy, Mikey Anderson, Gavrikov. They each has their what they bring to this team. Roy and Doughty, probably the most physical of that group. But it's not, you know, and Englund is also somebody who in less minutes can provide that role, but it's not the same complete team-wide heavy checking unit that the Kings have always relied on when they've been successful. So it's a mix that doesn't instill the greatest confidence and leads me to believe that there are probably a few more 5-4 games in this series.
We're chatting with John Rosen from the Forum Report here ahead of game 3 tomorrow night, 8:30 puck drop Mountain Time on 6:30 Chet. And John, before I let you go, I got to get your thoughts on the final day of the regular season. because it didn't necessarily line up immediately like we were going to play one another here. And ultimately, the game goes as it did. But as that third period comeback was mounted by the Chicago Blackhawks, were you watching the game? What was going through your mind?
I was at a Fish concert. I was at Sphere in Las Vegas.
Actually, incredible venue. Incredible venue. I love the Sphere. That is hilarious, though. So you check your phone afterwards and think, what just happened?
Yeah. I still had enough brain cells left to be able to, kind of compartmentalize what was going on there. And, the Dallas Stars are the team right now that is the worse off for the wear in what had happened. The Kings, of course, scoring late in the third period, winning in overtime after blowing a big lead against the Chicago Blackhawks. I think for the Kings, it's a pick your poison. There's no easy matchup. They're the underdog, whoever they were going to face. But they would much prefer going back to Edmonton for the third year than facing the Dallas Stars, a team that they were blown out of the water by in all three games they faced against them this season. So very interesting. As it turns out, I don't know. I can't speak for the Oiler fans who they would have rather faced. But looking now at the way the cap shenanigans that Vegas has benefited from that are completely within the rules of how the NHL operates, it's the Dallas Stars and the season that they put together that's now on the brink. And if I were a Stars fan, I'd be angrily going under Reddit and going under message boards to decry what the Golden Knights have been able to do. But to give them credit, the Golden Knights are wonderfully managed, and they also develop players so well. It's not entirely of their cap manipulation.
No, you don't get all that depth on the free agent market. There's a lot of savviness in the office as well, but it is pretty unbelievable. Not only do you trade for Noah Hanifin, but then you're able to re-sign him, for example. I got to ask you then, is this LA's biggest rival right now, is Edmonton? Because in my opinion, it's kind of split in Edmonton, but LA would have to be after the last couple of playoff series, even more so than Vegas. How do you guys feel down in Southern California?
Absolutely it is. You get the rivalries by playing teams over and over in the playoffs. And honestly, it's the way that it should be. I was raised in the 1980s, saw Billy and Smythe division games. The Kings often struggling against the Oilers in the playoffs, but having opportunities and getting through them a couple times, once erasing a 3-1 deficit to do so. So, having grown up and seen those Oilers dynasties and the Smythe division, Kings-Oilers, Kings-Flames games, I love not only the hockey, and it's great hockey, high-skill hockey that's often been on display, but also there's between LA and Edmonton, I thought it reached a fever pitch last year. It's always the cultural element of it too, where Edmonton is the more the blue collar town. LA is the quote unquote Hollywood, all that. Mm-hmm. So it's the chirping back and forth, which I don't pay attention to, between fans and fan bases is something that is inherent to this rivalry and has been back since the 1980s. So it's always a pleasure. The ton of Canadians in Los Angeles, a lot of Edmontonians, will be much more of an Edmonton contingent in Los Angeles and Kings fans in Edmonton. So always a great environment when these two teams meet. And as somebody, again, that's an old fogey like me, it's always fun to see Edmonton in the playoffs.
Right on, John. This was a pleasure chatting with you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this series and the rest of the spring and summer, okay?
Always my pleasure. Thank you so much, Brendan.
All right. John Rosen from the Forum Report. You can find him on X at Johnny Rosen, J-O-N-N-Y. R-O-S-E-N. It was the voice of the Everett Silvertips for a long time, so he and Cam Moon with the history, and obviously knows our Bob Stauffer as well. And hey, our Bob Stauffer is the next guest on his own program. How does that work? Well, it's starting to work a lot more like that, isn't it? As these games are a little later in the evening, as our show is later in the evening, but our show, I'll remind you once more, on game days has been extended to 2 hours, so we'll check in with you at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon ahead of that 8:30 puck drop. And then on non-game days, we're going marathon style, 3 full hours. Kellen probably thinks this first block here was a marathon. He wants me to get to a break. I'm going to do just that, and we'll come back with some of your texts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
His call on the Glenn Anderson goal that made it 3-1, you know, later in the third period of Game 7 when you absolutely knew that the Oilers were going to win that series. That was one, too, that just gave me chills.
Cam Moon talking about the late, great Bob Cole. 1987, Glenn Anderson scoring a goal in the Stanley Cup final there. To the text line we go. It's 780-496-0063. This texter says, I just heard about the legendary Bob Cole, and usually when I hear about legends or people of high importance that have influenced us over the years, I do recognize it and kind of say, you know, that's kind of sad. But with this news, it really cuts deep because it's like a part of all of us growing up in Canada, hearing those timeless calls. There is no other voice like his, and there never will be, says this texter. It's a sad, sad day. A bit of a melancholy tone to that, but appropriate, and so I want to give that the text of the day, brought to you by Great White Car Wash. The text of the day goes into the text of the week draw, and the winners receive 3 months of car washes at Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street here in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, I saw him sending me something email-wise, so that means he's ripe and ready to jump aboard the airwaves with you and I when we get back from a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn